welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff.
Well, Bill, looks like here we are, a week from the big election.
Big election day.
Big election, so yep. Please get your ballots turned in.
Yep.
If you don't want to mail them, take them to your local GOP headquarters, take them to the Registrar of Voters, and that gives, if you're taking in your mail-in ballot and there's a problem with it, like they check the signature and there's an issue, they will contact you, get that squared away so that on the 5th, when the ballots all start to be run through, yours will be counted at that time, or go to the polls. But if you don't think you're going to make it, get your ballot in now. We need everybody. And just in case you think your vote doesn't matter, I do know someone who won in the primary by 3 votes. 3 votes.
Somebody's vote mattered.
So 3 people who might have thought their vote didn't matter did matter. So it does count, and it also sends a huge message.
Mm-hmm.
I know in California, Prop 36, the one that is going to make the, for those of you that are angry, like, well, I don't know, all of us, that you can steal $950 worth of stuff and then, you know, run out of the store and nothing happens to you.
Yeah, how many people have seen that? I've seen it several times. It's
happened a lot. And, you know, good grief, our businesses can't afford that.
Nope.
That is the reversal of that. I realize there are some caveats with that. It has to be the third time, blah, blah, blah. But it's the right direction. It's putting the crime back in crime again. So that is happening. There's also an event if you live here in Reading. Can I look this up fast enough to actually make it make sense? I can. It's happening. Yes, on 36, there is a forum with former Sacramento County Sheriff John McGinnis. That will be North State Sheriffs and District Attorneys, Congressman Doug LaMalfa, Reading Mayor Tanessa Audette. And that'll be tomorrow, Monday, October 28th, 6 p.m. in the community room at the Reading City Hall on Cypress Avenue. So if you have any questions about that, look at ShastaGOP.com. It's right there on the front page for you. It's worth going, worth supporting, and worth learning about. And if you're not sure what Prop 36 is about, definitely show up and learn about that so you can vote for it and feel good about it. That is all. Back to our guest, Dr. Shezong Chen. I had 2 things I wanted to add from his bio. Starting in 2010, Dr. Chen has given presentations on the Renaissance of Chinese culture to over 100, and so I'm sure now there's more because this is kind of old, Rotary Clubs, Kiwanis Clubs, Lions Clubs, and various colleges. So he does a lot of public speaking and educating. And since 2012, he has been working with a group of activists in China to use China's current laws to defend civil rights. They're in short supply in China. So it's not like he came here, did well, you know, smart guy, started a company, has a nice life, and said, see ya. He has continued to try to make a change, educate those of us here, and help the folks back home. So hats off to you, Dr. Chen.
Thank you.
I mean, that's not easy. A lot of people would just say, oh, I'm doing fine. I think I'll just, you know, stick to my own life and leave it alone.
No, it's not easy. It's very hard. But, you know, we have to do it.
Yeah. No, I think that's awesome and important. Yeah. All right. So I kind of forget where we were, but you're really good at focusing, so you know where we were.
Yeah, we were at, you know, introduction or introducing in the concept of generous barbarism,
mm-hmm.
how that works. And so, you know, it's really, when we look at it again, it's really a bribery of the United States government.
Yeah.
To look away from the human rights abuses, right, the crimes at the world stage. It's a bribery. We'll give you money. You allow us to do what we want to do. Right. So, and how then, why is that bad? Why is that bad to the United States? How could that hurt us at all? Right? Job loss. Right away. In the China Shock 1, China Shock 1.0, if we call the current, well, they actually are calling the high-end export by China Shark 2. In China Shark 1, the United States lost 2 million manufacturer jobs to China. How did that happen?
Wow.
Yeah. How did that happen? Because the U.S., not the U.S., because Wall Street sees the great opportunity to lower cost in China. So China's supposed to be, look at this way, CCP sells China as a huge market, right? That's what they originally said, you know, come on, there's a huge market here. So China's supposed to be a huge market for us to sell our stuff to. Instead, U.S. business then set up production in China to produce product there and then to export to the United States. The United States become China's market. What China became? China became a labor market. The labor is so cheap there. How can you... It's not just cheap, it's really slave. It's too big a topic here, but really it was a cheap slave labor in China.
Mm-hmm.
At one point there are 1.6 million labor camps in China. 1.6 million. And each of them have thousands of, you know, people, you know, those prisoners' conscience, you know, incarcerated there, forcing them to do forced labor. So how can you compete with that kind of force? Right? So China become a large labor market and then export their production back to the big market in the United States. Our industrialists, our entrepreneurs, our investment bankers are doing this to our fellow Americans. I mean, they move their factories to China. Of course,
yeah.
American laborers will lose their income. So, who benefited from it? Not the Chinese people.
And so, not to skip over that, you know, for folks who don't follow the you know, things that go on in China, why is it that the Chinese people aren't benefiting? If they're making more goods and services, because we Americanize everything in our viewpoint, obviously. So looking through our lens, if they're making more goods and services, that means they're working more hours, which means they're getting paid more and they're making more money. But how does that work in China? Or not work, right. I guess.
With American technology, cash flow, management, the Chinese Communist government began to so-called privatization. Right? There was a wave of privatization in former Soviet Union countries like Poland, one of the most successful programs in East Europe. But there are other countries. They're doing their privatization because those countries were previously owned by communist government. Right? But their privatization is more or less fair. That is, the citizens somehow has a fair chance of receiving a portion of what is owed to them. Right? Not in China. Between after China was admitted into the WTO, there are a large wave, 440,000 national, or the, you know, the national, the government-owned entities were so-called privatized. And that process was not fair at all. They just basically bankrupt the all this 40,000 industry, allowing the government official to loot them, basically, you know, penny on a million, not even penny on a dollar.
Wow.
And then they throw, listen to this, they throw 60 million factory workers, manufacturer workers, onto the street overnight. You're on your own. And that's why Chinese people do not benefit from that at all. All this, you know, used to be a public company. There, that many people worked there,
mm-hmm.
were privatized to those officials, and then they then formed this joint venture with money from the United States, get technology, you know, technology management, cash flow, and become their own company, and then they hire less number of people because the U.S. technologies are more efficient. They need to hire less people and make the same amount of product and sell to the United States. 60 million Chinese workers were overnight thrown onto the street. These do not get talked about. So millions of families were immediately put into a poverty. And what can they do?
Yeah, no kidding.
20 million female workers were turned into prostitutes.
Wow.
That's how sad it was.
Wow.
We do not report that.
Yeah, no, we don't report that. We sort of, we gloss over all that and really make it look like they've, you know, it's crazy to me. But I think that because the abuses in China are not highlighted, it looks like China has a much more organized society and things are going really well over there and you don't ever hear anybody complain. And unfortunately, I think the part that people do probably know but don't consciously think about is that you don't hear any complaints because you're not allowed to complain. Complaining is not one of the choices there. What happens if you do complain?
Two things. What happens if you complain? First of all, you become one of the, what I mentioned earlier, the slave forces that produces a good product to export to the United States in labor camps. Number one. Number two, you'll be shunned by the media from the free world. Rupert Murdoch used to say this. He was leader. He was the leader of, you know, Western media corruption. He said this. We have to be respectful to our host country. They're trying to get into China. They're trying to get into the big market of China. So you have to be respectful to your host.
Wow.
You have to respect what they want you to say and what you don't want you to say. He even married a woman sent by that regime. you know, that woman is a trained spy. Of course, later, Wendy Dan. Later, they divorced.
Wow. Now she's what? Let's see. Is she friends with Eric Swalwell? Yeah. Does she go by Fang Fang?
No, not that one. Not that one. No, no. Fang Fang is that other one. There are millions like that.
I couldn't skip over Fang Fang. Einstein's gone, but she had a Chinese driver who turned out to be a spy. I mean, there's just like lots of stories about that.
Yeah. But anyway, there's no benefit from the general Chinese population. It benefits a few in the United States, and it benefits even fewer in China. That made them filthy rich.
Uh-huh.
So at the short end was the general public in the United States and the general public in China. Okay, that is number one. Right? So this is kind of American entrepreneurs did to the American labor force. Okay, that's the number one. Number two.
Okay, hold on for the okay. Second one. We'll take a really quick break, 5 seconds, right? And then we'll be right back. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
I was born, 6 gun in my hand. Behind the gun, I'll make my final stand. Hey, it's why they call me bad company, and I can deny it.
Who is it?
What indeed? All right.
All right. Number two.
Number two.
Yeah. It felt like a 3 seconds only.
It wasn't even the full five.
Number two, the American loss, the loss of American technologists and trade secrets. So the Chinese Communist Party are not just satisfied to share their profit with the Wall Street, with American entrepreneurs, you know, American politicians, particularly American politicians, as they, you know, promised before, because they want, you know, everybody wants more money. Remember that you know, that many containers can be filled, right? Not the bank accounts. It never can never be filled up. So they're the same. Right? So why should we just, you know, sit back and let you to iPhone, okay? Only an iPhone when China factory, you know, produce an iPhone, it only gets like $20 out of, you know, the 1,000. There's a very low number, right? So because you're low end, okay, your labor is feeling just low end job. You're just exporting low end products. But why the Chinese officials, physical officials, be satisfied with that? So they start all kinds of way to get American technology steal, rob, and use women anyway. So that was a problem, big problem between the United States and China. Lots of American companies, they want to set up their factory in China. Because, you know, labor is cheap. Chinese government then forced them to share their patent, their secret, And when you have thousands and thousands and thousands of American businesses in China being forced to do that, that quickly helped the Chinese Communist government to upgrade their industry production. And then they used their internet army to break into U.S. websites, you know, business website, Department of Defense website, Boeing website, you know, Coca-Cola websites, and steal their technology. It is those kind of a technology that allow China to make the electric vehicles, to make the solar panels, to make the lithium batteries, all that to now overtake American company to export. For example, this is a true story. When the solar power technology was first came out to, from research into industrial production, there was this U.S.-China, that's called the Sister City program. There was also the state governor, the platform where it would bring the U.S. governors and city mayors to a meeting with their counterpart in China. And then one year in Seattle, I forgot the year, 2015? Yeah. There was one year that at Seattle with the World Expo there, China's President Xi Jinping came, and Xi Jinping promised to a state, I forgot which state, but one of the governors there, and then said that, you know, we have, you know, this big market, you can come to work with us, and we'll produce the solar jointly. We'll produce the solar panel jointly. Yeah, sure enough, that state helped to arrange a meeting for the business to set up a factory in China. In less than 2 years, China's solar panel becomes number one.
What a shocker.
Seller, yeah.
Well, it's interesting because if I had to guess, I would say, and I know this is going to sound weird, but Wyoming. The governor in Wyoming is extremely friendly to the Chinese Communist Party for some inexplicable reason. Quite a bit of land, many large corporate deals going on in Wyoming. We had people come into the Republican headquarters here who were delegates to the National Republican Convention and was like, whoa, what are you guys doing here? And they said, oh, driving by, saw the sign, came in, and I don't even know why we started talking about China, but they said, you would not believe what's going on in Wyoming. It's a huge takeover of Chinese purchase of land and all these things, and you would think, I don't know, Wyoming would be maybe out of all 50 states, one of the last three, I would say, would go for that.
Mm-hmm. As a Wyoming-born citizen, I do not condone these acts.
The disclaimer. Yeah, no, they were really upset about it, and I was shocked. That was just a couple weeks ago. So, anyway, just my two bits. If I had to pick, I'd say maybe it's Wyoming. We can check and get back to people.
Yeah, this kind of story abound, and that is how Americans did this. Now our American business did that to themselves, right? The first thing is that American investors, entrepreneurs did to the American labor force. Now this is what they did back to themselves. They created this competitor. Well, it's not even competitor. They created thieves, right? They created thieves that steal their technology and then become their worst enemy. So they created their own faith, so to speak. We'll come back, you know, to how they created their own. So this is the second way they hurt themselves. Right? And again, this doesn't help China. Does not help Chinese people.
No, it's not benefiting the people who live there. And just before we leave that idea of the theft of technology and the all of that, back in, I was just looking at we have an archive page labeled China. It's pretty easy. It's right at the top of the page. And March 10th, 2019, we did a show based on a book called Hard Drive, A Family's Fight Against Three Countries with Mary Todd. She's the mother of Shane Truman Todd, who was murdered in Singapore. They claimed it was suicide. He was working for a company in China and basically realized that they were trying to...
That was Huawei, wasn't it?
I don't know exactly which company he was working for. We did another program on Huawei, but they wanted him to bring back technology on paper. The demand from the company was, we don't want anything to come back from your trip to America on any type of media device. We want it all on paper. And it was magnetics for cell phones. And he realized, hey, wait a second. This is because he was in a cell phone technology industry. And he realized, this isn't about cell phones. This has a military application. They're actually trying to get me to commit treason. And so he told his parents, he was like 30 years old, he wasn't a kid, and he said, you know, I'm not going to do this anymore, I'm going to leave, and I'll be done in 2 weeks, blah, blah, blah. And then magically, he was a big, tall guy and was hanged from the doorknob of his bathroom or the back door or the back of the door of his bathroom, just ridiculous. But there was a hard drive in his room that had everything on it. Gave that to the American government, who worked with the Chinese. It disappeared. Nothing ever got done.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of, you know, just in case people think maybe you're making something out of things that are small. This is, I mean, we've actually spoken to other people who have had this happen in their family. So.
Yeah. So, then, at the same time, why China is able to rack up this kind of production in China? What is wrong? People may ask. So, what is wrong? Number one, those technologies are stolen, okay? That was wrong. But even if those technologies were not stolen or somehow developed, what is wrong to upgrade your industrial production so you can outcompete your competitors, right? I mean, competition is as we were taught, was the driving force of business. Well, in most other countries, in every other country, with the increase of industrial production, with the increase of your creative value, because this is a higher value, right? This is no longer the low-end product. Usually, when you upgrade your industry production, when you start to create your higher value product, then the labor force will benefit. They will have higher income, right? The income then would increase the domestic consumer demand, and then that will create, the wealth will create new jobs. It will be a positive feedback loop in other countries. And that is why so many countries, you know, after World War II, after Cold War, start to take off, right? Particularly in Asia, because this technology, this structure build up benefit that country. Yet China is on a vicious cycle. Particularly the automation, the automated process of production allow the government, remember I just mentioned it, the American technology come in, allow Chinese government to bankrupt 40,000 factories and put 60 million people on the street, right? Because that government can do that, okay? So with this, the high-end production would need less jobs because they're all on industry factory line. The low-end product like clothes, shoes, even though their value is low, they don't make as much, make very little money when you export it. But they keep a large labor force. This high-end, particularly like computer, electronics, they're done by machine. So even though the export may be higher, the labor force demand is lower. So as China is making more of this high-end product, it needs less people to work.
Mm-hmm.
So there are more people laid off. And that causes a problem. The shrinking of domestic consumer demand. So in China, there's a deflation instead of inflation. And there's many countries, many governments, including the United States, trying to put pressure on China to increase domestic consumer demand. But that, to increase domestic consumer demand, would force, would require the government, would require those government officials who own those businesses to share their profit with the general public. That's not in their interest.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure that's not on their list of priorities.
No.
Today or any other day. Quick break here and we'll come right back. Our guest is Dr. Shizhong Chen. We'll be back in 5 seconds. You're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Very dreamy.
Back in 1835, they drew a line in the sand. The folks at Gonzales had freedom on their minds. It was all because of a cannon that had kept their colony safe. But then General Santa Ana sent some Mexican troops to take the big gun away. You know what those colonists said?
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but we'll warn you. You'll have to pry from our cold, dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
We have come far from that, very far.
Oh yeah,
from that. But that's part of our part of American history that many other countries have tried and failed, and we've managed to survive this long, but walking away from our history and how hard we fought to keep our freedom, and doing this weird thing we're doing with China and other countries, allowing them to infiltrate our country and take things over and steal our technology and manipulate our markets, it's not going to come to a good end, actually.
No. And they've done it without firing a shot.
Which is what they said they would do.
Yep. Yep.
And this is what I try to, you know, expose here. And so we have like 15 minutes. But in a word, China may be the first country, or will be the first country, that needs more machine than human being, right? Because as long as those factories can crank up this high-end product, the more it can sell, the less they'll need the people. In other country, in any other country, this will create a social problem. It did create a social problem, like I mentioned, you know, 20 million women turned into prostitutes. But other countries, other government will feel the pressure from the society, not the Chinese Communist Party. It doesn't have to feel it, because it can. It just can control the society, can silence the society. So many governments try to tell the Chinese government, you need to build up your domestic consumer demand. Any government will say yes. Any government will have to surrender to that social problem and pressure, not China. So the Chinese Communist Party is unique in that way.
Yeah, they have a literal stranglehold on all of their citizenry.
Yeah. Because they can do it. They're doing it. Right. So, now this brings to the... I think this is going to bring to a pretty quick ending of this, because now the world feels the pressure from this overcapacity. They all start to use tariff. I think just very recently, 2 or 3 weeks ago, Indonesia, that little country, in Chinese Communist Party's eyes, that little country, slapped 200% tariff on mighty China.
No?
Now, more and more countries are going to use tariff. You can produce cheap their labor. You can produce your product as cheap as you want, but we will use tariff. So this is a defeat for the communist scheme. And I don't think the communists will have a way out on this one, because it has pushed things to the far extreme, to the point where other countries have to defend. In the same sense, like I mentioned earlier, other barbarisms use military to threaten other countries', you know, livelihood, and they force other countries to fight back, and they fail. The aggressor will fail. In this case, CCP, I think, will eventually fail, because it has pushed things to the extreme. Once it gets pushed to the extreme, you will fail. So here comes the most important question. So what is so bad about this?
Well, it all sounds bad to me.
What?
It all sounds bad to me.
Right. But so many people still say, well, we make money, and the CP is going to fail. So what is so bad about me? Okay? If we will, here's a something that maybe shocking to people. Okay, if you think you just live one life, that may be the answer. Nothing bad. What if you let your life goes on? What if you will reincarnate? What if?
Oops. That'd be a bad calculation.
What if you have done so many bad things to the Chinese people? Next life, you will be reincarnated into a suffering Chinese.
That's another good reason to ban religion in China. You wouldn't want people thinking about that.
My goodness, Ryan, you read my. Aaron, you read my. You read my mind.
It's like that. That's like a terrible. That's like a terrible advertisement.
No, this is exactly why this regime. It's ultimate. The ultimate harm of the Chinese communist regime is its persecution of religion in China. And it enlists the help from other governments in its persecution of religion, its abuse of human rights, and it, the extreme of the human rights abuse is applied to, you know, people who believe in, you know, Falun Gong, Christian, you know, Buddhism, all that. So China persecutes believers the worst. And this is a regime who persecute all religion.
Yeah, and, I mean, you couldn't have people believing in either reincarnation or, I mean, I guess they're both afterlife, but heaven, hell, reincarnation, anything that has consequences and morality.
And maintain control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not maintain control that way. I mean,
right.
Persecuting people and subjugating them, that's not really all that compatible. Is there any, I know in Iran there's a very, very heavy resistance. I was speaking with someone on Friday night, actually, who's part of that process. We'll have him on again here pretty quick. But is there a, I don't even know how to, I know there's a resistance movement, but how is it in China? I mean, how are people able to fight back at all? And if so, are they doing well?
The only, as far as I know, the only group that has persisted is Falun Gong.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they are fighting back is by what they say, clarifying the facts, letting the people know what this government is about. And how they persecute Falun Gong, how they used the organ harvesting in Falun Gong practitioner, and now how the organ harvesting has extended, and spill over to all groups of people, even people who are non-religion.
Mm.
In China, your original sin is when your body type happened to fit another needy person, so your organ will not be rejected by him, then you have committed the original sin. You will be condemned to death. Your organ will be taken because your organ will survive a needy a Chinese government official or someone who can pay for it.
Wow.
Well, and in our shows that we did with Mitchell Nicholas Gerber on this particular topic, he had said, maybe, I don't know, maybe somebody else, but he had said there were like 200,000 forced organ harvests, transplants in China per year.
If not more.
Because at first, when we first heard about it, we thought, okay, you're taking a kidney and the person still goes home. But no, you're talking about your heart, your lungs, you're dead. I mean, they kill people and steal their organs and sell them to other people, just to be blunt about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of bizarre. Yeah. The only form of capitalism they seem to practice in China is stealing your organs and selling them on the open market.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of countries don't really condemn it. I mean, they're...
Well, they don't talk about it.
They don't talk about
which
it.
Which is not condemning it.
Well, they do. There was it the Indonesia? There was recently a president from a country visit China and thanked publicly on media, helped the Chinese government, thanked the Chinese government helping him to get a liver transplantation.
Oh, gosh.
Wow. Well, and we had asked a long time ago when we first learned about this. It's been years ago now. And when I first heard the number, I'm like, wait, 200,000 organ transplants a year? I'm thinking they've got to be kind of good at this. I wasn't really thinking about it. And they said, no, actually, they're not great at it because it doesn't matter. If they botch the transplant, they just go find somebody else, kill them, and steal their liver, heart, or whatever they want.
Comes with a warranty.
Yeah, on the spot.
Wow.
If that isn't a country to be, I don't know, I'm not real big on pushing fear, but if people aren't pushing back on that country, if they're thinking, we're just like them, only, you know, we were bigger clothes. I don't know. It's just crazy to think that we have a whole lot of similarity in the structure of our country. Not the people. I'm not saying the people are doing this, but their government. If we're not properly concerned about the influence of their government in our country, I'm not really sure I have a word for that.
Yeah, we only have time to, to talk to this point. I hope that we'll have another program to talk about why religion freedom is not just important for China. It's important for the world. You know, Martin Luther King used to say, injustice somewhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Well, in this case, evil in China is a threat to kindness, to humanity everywhere. I hope we will have time to discuss that. But here I just want to ask for all who didn't think it's a big deal, who do not see the problem with sharing, with, getting cheap product from China. My question is, what if you will be reincarnated into a Chinese in your next life? Think about that.
Yeah.
I think that's important.
I think it is important. And besides that, regardless of what you believe, reincarnation or heaven and hell or whatever, unless you just believe nothing happens, the ramification is obviously there. It has to be very sobering for everyone, and especially as we're looking at who we elect and who they support and want to work with, and as a country, what do we support and want to emulate and, I don't know, support and do business with. It's imperative that we take a look at that. I think people get really hung up on the personalities of people that are running, but you also have to realize it's a policy. We got a policy issue hanging over our heads. Dr. Chen, we have hit the last 5 seconds.
Thank you.
We appreciate you coming on with us. We always appreciate it.
Yes.
And I hope people will go to the China tab on the website and get educated. It's time to smarten up our fellow citizens here.
Yeah, because it's coming at us.
China.
You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
You know there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. We got bills to pay, we got mouths to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know we can't slow down, we can't hold back. Though you know we wish we could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good.